For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 23rd, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the minister who will be leading the ministry this afternoon.
It's the spirit of refreshing this afternoon here at 3 o'clock. And release you from a tired spirit into a spirit of anxiety and refreshing as we explore the goodness of God. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I was young and now I'm old. I never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Oh, the psalmist said so many wonderful things, didn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord. This afternoon, we'll take some time here and our intentions are to form a presbytery later in the service here, and there probably are some needs that we will minister to. Let me just say in the opening statement here that when the time comes that we will have to close the service, we will just close it. If that time should come and we haven't finished what we were doing, we've got another service scheduled. We don't know how to do that, and we don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt if we close it. Like you've been waiting in line to get to the teller, 45 minutes, and when the fella ahead of you gets through, they drop that gate, and this one's closed. Always leaves you with a kind of a bad feeling, but I don't think that will happen. But what we had in, what the Lord seems to impress me upon my mind is that there may be those here this evening that are uncertain. You believe that you have a ministry and you're looking for direction and guidance. And these primarily are the things that we do when we form a presbytery. Maybe I should explain forming a presbytery. You think I should explain that? I come through the I came through the old school of oldest of old order. I came through a very popular, movement. I guess it's popular. They boast to be the biggest of the spirit fields. And we had presbyters, but the presbyter was somebody that was elected to, by popular opinion, over a certain district. Now that's all right if you're a politician. Yeah, and let me pause long enough to say if I wasn't a preacher, I guess I'd probably been a politician. I come from a political family, and I've always thought that we ought to send some farmers to the legislation and write some laws that we can read. Hallelujah. And we can understand. I mean, I'm tired of a lawyer state. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's, anybody want to ask me what I'm going to do about it? Well, I'm doing something about it right now. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all in God's timing. For the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And I'm getting in line. Hallelujah. Amen. To be one of those that will rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, then we go. All right, when I said we'd form a presbytery consists of some foundation ministry. If you're going to give direction, if you're going to prophesy direction, it needs to be a presbytery, especially ministry. If you prophesy in ministry, I never do it unless there's, a presbytery. All right, it consists of a foundational ministry, like an apostle, It's good to have an apostle, a prophet, and a pastor, at least. I haven't seen many apostles that are not also prophets, I might say. I think all apostles can operate in the office of prophets. So if you have two apostles, you've got it. Now, I wouldn't just die on this. I mean, if you've got multiple ministry, but you must have multiple ministry to give direction. And we'll see as we talk, especially for the ministry, if you're going to do it scripturally. And anything that is not scripturally, I may be fond of it, but I just don't want to stake my life on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't want to stake my eternal future on anything that is not scripturally based and have a scriptural foundation. Like I say, I may be fond of it, and you know, Moses said when we got over there to Kadesh and looked across into the Canaan, I told you to go on over and get the land that God gave you, and you came to me, every one of you, he said, in Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're down about verse 20-something now. And he said, you said, let's send some men over to see what's over there. Let's send out some spies. And Moses said, the saying sounded good to me. Hallelujah. That sounded good to him. But it wasn't God's divine plan, but it sounded good to Moses. It made good sense. And it was that brother, it was the, what side is this? The logic. Yeah. To Moses, to this side, I believe he had the logic over here, it sounded good over here. But Moses had spoken, if you read it in just the narration where it happened, you lose this. Because it sounds for all the world like it's God's first command. But it starts in Numbers where he's telling about this story. It starts where Moses begins in Deuteronomy, and he said, you came to me. And then it was one of those things like God often does. If you just won't go God's way, he'll finally let you, you know, he'll let you go. But if you miss, I'll tell you one thing. If you know God in the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you walk with him, you may get away from him, but you will have a hard time. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll have to walk over a lot of things that are very obvious before he loses you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, so to the, Moses spoke from the, what was this one? The spiritual, the, what'd you call it? Yeah, the creative. He spoke from the creative side. And he said, there it is. God gave it to you. Take it. And they came and said, we better send somebody over. We don't know what's over there. Well, I'll guarantee you that no military leader worth his salt would cross any stream until he knows what's on the other side.
Amen.
So if you, so he said, it sounded good to me. The logic. So God said, since he's going to do it anyhow, God said, all right, choose out one from a tribe. If you're going to do it anyhow, God's going to keep it as close to divine order as possible, hallelujah, to be in rebellion. You see, I don't know if that made sense. You'll have to, you understand that. If you don't understand that, you may have to ask your mother when you get home. You know, I don't know. Well, all right. I'm going to teach a few minutes and then we'll do something here. I don't know just what we're going to do. Why don't we turn to Ephesians? Well, maybe.
Don't be too short with your teaching.
All right. All right. I never have been accused of that. This may be a first. All right. I'm going to entitle this teaching, Divine Timing and Placement. Divine timing and placement. I'm coming right from the Spirit without any notes. That is a good title, though, wouldn't you admit?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Just as the Lord moves on us, I think there are a lot of people that are uncertain in this hour, and it's good to know your calling and to know your placement. Have you ever seen somebody, a young man, for example, that comes from a good family, everybody is stable in his family, and he does all the proper things through school, then he kind of gets out on his own, maybe he's finished college, and he's qualified to do several things, and he just doesn't seem to be able to, and you've almost, he goes from one job to another for a while, and you just about lost hope in this young man, and he lands the one he wanted. You had thought he'd already formed a habit. You know what he was doing? He was the perfect young man that you thought he was. He did have the stable background and all of these things going for him. He simply was finding his place in life, in society. And he could not be satisfied until he found that pleased his, that he liked. But one of the most miserable things you can do is go to a job every morning at 8 o'clock that you hate.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And you want to be frustrated and in a state of nervous collapse, just work on a job that you hate and get up and go to it faithfully just like you loved it. And it's the hardest thing you've ever done. And as long as we're just wandering around not knowing quite what our aim is, the Lord speaks to me specifics, to be specific. Quit universalizing so much and get specific. Focus. The word focus comes to me. He means to focus. Well, you know, and as we get spirit, how many of you are spirit filled? Let's see your hands. My, nearly all of you. Now I'll let your hands down. Let's see here. How many of you have spoken in tongues? Mm-hmm. All right. You can take your hand down. Now, how many of you have prophesied? Let me do it again. How many of you have spoken in tongues, but you have never prophesied? You have spoken in tongues, but you have not prophesied. Raise them high. I want to see here. Everybody look. Now, we'll raise them back up here and let's show them. We're doing this for a purpose here. I want to show you something. And, all right. Now, we had a hand showing of all of those that had prophesied and never had spoken in tongues, but they had never prophesied. Now, let's see all of you that have prophesied. Now, hold your hand up here a minute. I want them to look at you. All of you that had your hand up a while ago, look around you now. Keep your hands up, all of you that have prophesied. And all of you that had your hands up a while ago when I asked you, had you spoken in tongues, but had you'd never prophesied, you that had your hands up, look around you and see all these brothers and sisters that are greater than you are. Well, that's what the book says. Let me give it to you. I knew we'd need some foundational scripture here, so I got it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 5, Paul says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. So, you see, now, do you see all these great folks here? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I may not know how to go in and come out among this great people, all these prophets. All right, so, hallelujah. You do know that everybody prophesies is not a prophet. Now let me give us a principle here, and we'll just kind of lay a little foundation here, and we'll get into something here in a minute, I think. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, and I give you a principle here, and that's what the whole thing is a principle. All right, he says here in verse 6 of Colossians 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. Yeah. You know, what does that really say? Is that telling us something? All right? Let me do it this way. Let's read it again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, let me just change this just a little bit. It doesn't change anything. It just enlightens it. To the extent that you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. As much of Christ as you have received, walk ye in him. Well, that's good instruction, because that's all we can do anyhow. I mean, that's the most you can do, is walk in what you have received. If you, Peter said on that memorial day that he went up to the temple to pray, walking along with John, and they came to the beggar at the beautiful gate, and Peter said, look on us. And then he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What did he do? He ministered that he had, such as a hell. Well, what did he have? Oh, he had the healing virtue of Jesus, praise the Lord, that had been ministered. He had the life of God in him. And he was just waiting for a place to release the life of God. He had a placement, and he knew his place. Now, we said we'd call this teaching divine timing and placement. The wise man said there's a time to all things. As surely as there is a time to all things, there is a place for all things. And the time is as important as the placing, and the placing as important as the time. So then, with that thought in mind, with all of these background scriptures, why don't we go to Ephesians now, chapter 4, and we'll read about here what the Lord has done. Let's just start with verse 8. The whole thing is interesting, but we want to get down into this. We're in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, that is, Jesus saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This was the day that Jesus moved paradise, if you please. Hallelujah. Amen. He went into the heart of the earth. And where paradise evidently, the holding a lot or whatever, evidently was located, and he led captivity captive. He led it up on high. He moved paradise. Somebody said, where did he move it to? To the upper stratosphere. You remember that Russian astronaut said, I didn't see God. Now, I'll tell you, he didn't see God, but God seen him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if that thing had done like that last one that we sent up did, he'd have seen God, wouldn't he? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, now he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That's what I just said. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And this is what he did when he was going away, and even his most trusted disciples, those that had followed him the closest, could not understand him. Hallelujah. And the mass multitudes they were completely devastated by his ministry. Isn't it amazing how much Israel loved the Lord Jesus as long as he was just a scriptural projection? As long as they could just read about of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Oh, they gloried in their national prophet, the young Isaiah. What a fluent and eloquent prophet he is. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. They read all of these things and just gloried in it. But one day, Jesus stepped out of the scriptures as big as life itself. As a matter of fact, he was life itself. He was the source of all life. And he stepped out of there, the Word became flesh, and it disturbed them mightily. He couldn't find a religious system that he could attach himself to. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think the situation has changed drastically up to now. I don't think there are many religious systems now, including the independent systems, that Jesus could be comfortable with. Well, there must be something wrong then. Hallelujah. Nothing was wrong with Jesus. All right, so as he ascended up, he realized the state that he was leaving the world in. So this is what he did. In verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And this is what he gave them for. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now that's what we want to do in the presbytery. We want to give some word and some projection that will perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. I'll tell you, the preacher's getting thinned out. We need to perfect some saints to work some of this ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, yes. And then we have in the 13th verse, we have a time word. This is how long this ministry will be in force. I'll tell you, this ministry has not been discontinued because that the Hallelujah. Well, maybe I shouldn't get too personal here, but this ministry has not been discontinued because the better known denominations in the world will not accept it. It will be in effect until this time word, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I pause long enough to ask you, do you see anything that even remotely resembles this today? Hallelujah. I'm not asking for a hand showing now or a verbal answer, but you do not. Now, so that tells us what have we established so far? We have established that this five-fold ministry is in the church today, and it was not placed in there by any election, by any proclamation of a gathering together of the brethren and meeting, but it was placed in there by God. And what did he really give them here when he gave them the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? You know what he did? I tell you what he did. He divided himself into five ministries. And those five ministries are in the true church of God now, bringing the church together until they will be reunited in one again. And that, my friend, is the body of Christ. And that's what it's all about. And if you don't know this, hallelujah, amen, you don't know what you ought to know. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought. If he knows it over in this chamber of logic, he doesn't know it like he ought to, for he ought to know it in this creative side. That's good, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you for that one. Amen. Amen. This is where he should know it. He has to know it by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I often say that I came into sonship by direct revelation. I did. Nobody taught it to me. First time I ever heard the words divine order, I put them together myself. Hallelujah. That is, the Spirit put them together and gave them to me. I put the vocal to them. First time I ever heard divine order, divine placement, divine government. These things I spoke by direct revelation. But that doesn't make me anything peculiar, no more peculiar than you are, because if you get it, you've also got to get it by revelation. I can teach it to you, but if you just learn it with the logic side, you hadn't really got it like you ought to have it. You have to know it by the Spirit. And if I teach it to you, and then deep calls unto deep, that's how you know whether you're destined, hallelujah, or programmed or called to sonship, to be the elect, to be the first fruit. If these truths stir you deep within, you need to investigate further and see, has the Lord called you to come up higher, to come to Zion? Hallelujah. He gave himself. He was the apostle. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent, here it is, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He was the sent one. And that is what an apostle means. He is a sent one. It means a lot more than that, but primarily that is the initial meaning of the apostle. Then, of course, the ministry of the apostle is something else. I'm just telling you, but he was the sent one. He was the apostle, and so called in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And he was the prophet in Matthew 24, 25. He is projecting things to come. He is filling the office of a prophet at the well of Samaria to the woman that comes for the water. He is an evangelist. He teaches her about salvation and does the work of an evangelist. And in the 10th chapter of St. John, he is the great shepherd and the pastor. Hallelujah. And then again in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he is the teacher.
Yes.
He sat down and taught them. And here he has divided his ministry up, given it to the church. He gave it to the church. That's why that you have to stay with the church. Hallelujah. If you get out from under the church, and you're out from the type of ministry is given to the church. He didn't give it to the world. The world won't recognize it. We are kings and priests unto our God. A lot of people have forgot whose priests they are. Hallelujah. Amen. We're kings and priests unto our God. It's He that has made us priests. And, all right, so then we have this ministry is in the church. And the church is the foundation of the church is the ministry, the foundational ministry, the apostle and prophet, so stated in Ephesians, I guess, chapter 2, verse 20, 22, there about. He says that they are the foundation. These ministries are the foundation. Verse 20. They are placed there. Now, let me take us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, I think we're going to go to chapter 12 and verse 28. And listen to this. And God hath set, you underline the word S-E-T, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, and so on. Well, anyway, God has set some. Where'd he set them? In the church. When you see the word S-E-T, it means somebody else did it. If I can come here and I sit down, S-I-T, but if somebody picks me up and puts me over here, they set me down. So God did this. God set them in there. Who is he that would have the audacity to take them out? Hallelujah. Or to even suggest that they be taken out when God has set them in the church. Hallelujah. God did it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Hallelujah.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, he has said a lot of things. And he, all right, so we're talking about divine timing and placement. You talk about precision. You know, we hear a lot about precision in electronics and thing. You talk about precision. Our God is the precision engineer. Hallelujah. Amen. He times everything just right. He can coordinate everything.
Hallelujah.
Oh, isn't it wonderful how that he's sitting back now just coordinating everything to bring about the destruction of everything that is in this universe that is not planted by him. Everything that he didn't set, everything that he didn't plant has to be plucked out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And God beyond the scenes, directing the scenes. Hallelujah. Amen. And timing everything where it just dovetails and fits perfectly. Amen. Let me show you how good when God gets ready to cast down one and raise up another. When it comes time to begin to bring a man or a woman of God into promotion. Hallelujah. Promotion cometh not from the south, doesn't come from the east, doesn't come from the west. But he didn't say that it didn't come from the north. That's where God is always pictured as being over in the north side. That's why that Lucifer wanted to take possession of the north side. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where the authority is coming from. Promotion comes from God. There's a story over here in Esther. We get back over here in the old Bible. I don't make any distinction, really, between them other than just the distinction that is necessary, for the old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. Hallelujah. In the sixth chapter, something happens here in the book of Esther. And this king, notice here, if you'll turn over and read a verse or two just with your own meditation there, you'll see this king has a restless night, and he can't sleep. You know the story here. Mordecai is having a problem with, I believe Haman's having a problem with Mordecai. Mordecai is a Jew. He is an Israelite. He is from God's chosen, and Haman hates him. And Haman is trying to build a reputation for himself, trying to, for all the prestige he can get. But Mordecai is just trying to save, trying to save Israel. He's, because they are God's chosen, his heart is right. And it looks for all the world, because Haman has the status of the nearest thing he probably has a status to in our political system is a United States Senator. And Mordecai, he doesn't, when it comes to status, he's kindly low on the totem pole here with the status. But God's going to do something about that. And so the king has a restless night. Oh, that's not so unusual, but what is unusual? When he has a restless night and he cannot sleep, you know what he does? He calls for the chronicles. Bring in the record books. Can you think of anything more unlikely? Hallelujah. For a monarch that can't sleep, it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, he can't sleep, and he gets up and calls for the record books. Hallelujah. That may sound all right until I get through with this king, but this king could have had anything he wanted at 1 o'clock in the morning. He could have had a table of delicacies set before him. He could have had any kind of drink that his heart would have desired. He could have had the young maidens to come and dance for him. He could have had a band. He could have had the band to come and play for him. Well, I could think of a lot of things that he could have done that would have been more fitting to the occasion than to look at the record books. But he looked at the record books. And when he got to looking at the record books, he come across Mordecai's name in there. And it seems that just not long ago, there was a conspiracy against the king. That Mordecai somehow attained the knowledge of it and passed the knowledge on to the chamber keepers and perhaps saved the king's life. And the king reads that, and he calls in one of his helpers, his secretaries, and said, what was ever done for Mordecai to honor him and a thing of dignity? And they said, nothing. He said, well, would you step out in the chambers there and see if any of the senators are still here? Yeah, hallelujah. Well, he stepped out there looking for one of the senators, and who's coming along just at that precise exact time? Yeah. Haman, wasn't it?
Now Haman, he's here.
Yeah, Haman's out here. Hallelujah. He ought to went home early that night, I'll tell you. He's got in trouble. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Our God reigneth. There can be no question about it.
Hallelujah.
You see the time in here? God stirs this old king where he can't sleep, and then gives him the most peculiar idea to research the records of his kingdom. And then at the exact precise time, he sends a messenger out to look for a senator, and there's Haman. He's the only one around. Hallelujah. He said, well, bring him in. Yeah, bring him in. You know the story. The whole story's interesting, but I hadn't got time to tell it. But it was the beginning of the downfall of him that would speak against what God does. There's always somebody around willing to speak against what God's doing for the, hallelujah, for various reasons of greed, malice, or whatever the reason is. You'll always find somebody willing to speak against what God's doing. Even Balak didn't have no trouble finding somebody to come and attempt to speak against what God was doing, did he? There are always those prophets around, hallelujah, that will speak against what God's doing. But I'll tell you, well, Haman's demise has begun and Mordecai's exaltation has begun. His promotion is coming. He's rising up, hallelujah, to be a deliverer along and to navigate the deliverance of a whole, hallelujah, he's going to deliver a whole nation, hallelujah. And it's starting right here. God timed it right. You see the timing, divine placement. Somebody said, oh, I wish I had that mountain moving faith. Well, you might get in trouble if you had it unless you've got wisdom balanced with knowledge or knowledge balanced with wisdom. I tell you, you wouldn't know when to move the mountain. There may be a bound on the other side of that mountain. You don't just move mountains because it's there. Hallelujah. Amen. And because you have the faith to do it, you better find out what's on the other side of that mountain. It may be holding more off of you than it's holding you away from.
Amen.
Whose mountain is it? Hallelujah. I'm talking about divine placement, divine timing, knowing what we are in God. I'm talking about direction. Hallelujah. I'm talking about assurance. Oh, praise God forever. You know, if I wasn't sure of my calling, I could get real careless. Hallelujah. Amen. I really could. I could get real lazy, I think. I've never been lazy, but somehow or another, last year or two, I've kind of felt lazy. If it wasn't for the assurance, if it wasn't for that, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's something within me that's got a hold of life's right. If it wasn't for that power, God, hallelujah, amen, that ever makes me to come on here when I would lag behind. I think of them old cows that went down the road pulling that cart with God on it back there. if you'll let me go with that expression. Hallelujah. It was the presence of God. And they pinned the calves up back here to these milk cows, never been hooked to a wagon, never had a yoke on them. Now, I know cattle. Hallelujah. Amen. Cattle and people, I know. That's what I've dealt with all my life. People and cattle and horses. Hallelujah. I know the cattle as good as no folks. No folks about as good as no cattle. Hallelujah. Amen. And no God better than no any of them. Hallelujah. But they went, you pin an old cow, cape up, and you ain't going to run her off. You can't drag her. You can't hardly drag her off. The only drag her off, just you got to get more force in front than she can pull back. Hallelujah. And the Bible said they went down the road lowing as they went. Everything that was cow, when that calf bladed back there, everything that was cow wanted them to do a quick left turn. But that box back there, it's that box. Oh, hallelujah. There's something in that box that's stronger than the nature of that cow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's something in the box that is overcoming the law of physics. It's overcoming the law of nature. There's something in that box that is overcoming all the laws of the universe. Hallelujah. And when I would turn around, it keeps me going direct. Hallelujah. Yeah. They lowed as they went. That's a mournful call. We used to pin go to the market with the calf crop in the fall. And for about a week around there was some mournful mowing, lowing of them cattle. They's calling them babies. It's a special call. You hear it, you don't forget it. is wanting to go back to the pens, but that box was taking them to the Israelites over there. Hallelujah. The ark was headed home. Oh, blessed be God forever. And it is the same power that has kept me going all of these years. Hallelujah. Amen. Fighting, traveling from one end of the nation to the other, and fighting a deadline on both ends. And that deadline was cutting my hours way short. Hallelujah. And I think I left home. I used to get up on Monday morning a lot of times and leave out, say, 3 o'clock. Had to leave out 3 o'clock in the morning and get where I was going to be ministering that night. Done it a lot of times. I get over there and hit the old I-20, start east, and I get thinking, oh, you got to quit this. You're doing this for? I mean, you know, last week you did the same thing. What number of weeks got back? I say, 5. Yeah, you got to quit this. Hallelujah. But there's something, that same thing that was in that box was in my car. Hallelujah. Amen. I keep it headed east. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. God said, I've been the man of little sleep, you know, 3 or 4 hours a night, so all I ever slept. Since I've grown. I used to get up in the wee hours, yeah, at night. In the wee hours of the night, I'd get up and go out to my study sometime. You know, like go to bed at 10:30 when the news is over, and if I watch the news, 12:30, I'd be up. I'd go out to my study and, you know, long, start reading, meditating, and along about 3 o'clock in the morning, everything gets quiet, them trucks done quit out there on the highway, or, you know, just one every once in a while, dogs quit barking, roosters hadn't started crowing yet, everything's quiet, and there I am with God, just alone with Him, hallelujah, in His presence, there's fullness of joy, at His right hand there are pleasures evermore. I used to wait till about 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock seemed to be kind of a magical hour for me. And if I had anything really pressing in, about 3 o'clock I'd really be in tune with God and I'd take it to the throne. I could always get an open lane pretty easy because there wasn't many folks talking to him from back folks at that time of the morning. some of the sweetest hours I had was driving down the road. Nobody in the car but me. Nobody that you could see, that is. Hallelujah. Amen. Just me and the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's kept me going all of these years. It's because I'm sure of my placement. I'm sure of my calling. I couldn't anymore quit. I don't think I could quit any more than I could quit breathing. I threatened to. I couldn't. Praise the Lord. This has been good. The ministry's been too good to me anyhow. There is a statement in one of the better known denominations in there that reads like this. And if this had been all, it would have been plenty. Hallelujah. But that wasn't all. He did more than what would have been plenty. Amen. And I said that the ministry has been good to me. It's just the natural goodness that the ministry has been to me. If that was all, it would have been plenty.
Yes, sir.
But I'll tell you, that's not the height of it. Hallelujah. That's not all of it. It's been a glorious thing. But that's what we're talking about. We must come to the place that we know what is our place in the kingdom. What did God apprehend us for? Paul went in quest of this calling. Oh, that I might apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. God apprehended me. He stopped me. I had my pockets full of injunctions to persecute the church. And He apprehended me. He took me into custody. Now, what did He do that for? This is what He went around looking for, seeking out that He might know. That's what I say. I feel in my spirit that there are those here this evening that need direction, and you're seeking direction, and there might be the word of the Lord for you. Before we go there, though, and get into that, I'd like to turn us to the 9th chapter of the book of Judges. We're talking about placement now. We showed you where God sets them in the church. God gives the promotion. God does the precision timing. And promotions, you see, the church is, the church system of this country and this world is not very different from the political system. They do everything by popular opinion, don't they? They even do polls now to show what's popular and what's not. And I get this little magazine. I'll tell you what's popular. I get this little magazine called Pulpit Digest. Anybody get that little magazine? It's got about, four or five sermons monthly. It's a monthly publication. I've been getting it for years, and I like to read it sometime just to see if the world's going to ever wake up. And they've got these messages written out there as Dr. So-and-so delivered them. And I said, well, this fella must have been a doctor. He sure wasn't a preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. So he delivers a message to Dr. So-and-so, delivered this message on Sunday morning, certain day in the state of New York, certain town, to a congregation of 5,500 people. And Dr. So-and-so didn't mention the Lord one time. Hallelujah. And didn't read one scripture in that the sermon, they called it, I believe. Ah, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from sermonizing, proselyting, and hallelujah, and a lot of things. A friend of mine was riding overnight and was listening to that Del Rio. And one after another came on. They was all, every one of them assured us that they was the only one doing it right. And every one of them wanted to hear from you. And we done listened to a series of them, you know, and we just having a big bang out of them and you know, something to do and comment on as we rode along. Finally, this one comes on and right in the mouth of the gun, he tells us, I'm gonna preach to you out of the Bible, he says. And none of the rest of them was preaching out of the Bible, he said. But I'm gonna preach to you right out of the Bible, he says. And for the next 26 minutes, he gave his name and address 17 times. And assured us that if he didn't hear from us, he'd have to go off the air. Incidentally, he didn't hear from us. And when he got through, he hadn't read one verse of scripture. He hadn't quoted one verse. He hadn't referred to one verse of scripture. And my preacher friend said, well, what did he do? Tell me. And I said, he's the only one done what he said he's going to do. He said, what? I said, well, he said right in the mouth of the gun, he's going to preach you out of the Bible, and he sure never did get in it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm preaching to you in the Bible. I won't preach out of it. I'm preaching in it. Too many is preaching out of it now. You're to preach in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. If anybody believes, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, not on me, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he turned to Martha and said, you believe this? She said, Lord, I believe it. Well, I believe it as emphatically as you did, Martha. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What did I have then? I get eternal life. All right, here's a little story here about, you know, you just don't. The beautiful part about knowing your placement, knowing what you are in God, is it will deliver you from greed. It delivers you for the greed for prestige. You just want to do what God wants you to do. Now, here's a little story that's a little parable, I guess, in the Old Testament. And in this story, Gideon, you know, Gideon had been the great judge that delivered Israel, but he dies. So they're going to replace him. Well, now there's a bunch of sons. His name is also, here's Jerubbaal. And he has about 40 of these brethren? 70 persons, yeah. And so the elders from Shechem goes over and gets Jotham. No, it is, who is it here? That comes. Who? I got to get in the story here. I just called my attention. Abimelech. Abimelech, yeah. Now, Abimelech, he's a base kind of fella. And so he goes and makes a deal with him, said, why don't you appoint me king? No use in having it split up in 40 avenues. So that sounded good to him. They appointed him king. And then he exterminates the rest of them to really consolidate his position. And then Jotham hears about it down in verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Yeah, you are aware of the fact that trees speaks of men. Almost everywhere it's setting forth men. The man of Psalms 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, were trees of the Lord planted by him. Trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. Now, all right, what they did, all right, we've got an olive tree here that's in divine placement. He is divinely placed, but the olive tree is kind of a special tree, has a special ministry. But now, this one, in this placement, has an offer to become the state overseer. well, all right. Bishop. Well, let's see. Presbyter. Executive superintendent. Some of these names just can't get flowery enough. Now then he goes forth to, and so they say to the olive tree, but the come and reign over us. We have elected you state overseer. Yeah, he says. But he says the olive tree said unto them, well, should I leave my fatness? For if by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Man, no, he says, I'm not interested. I have a divine placement here. By the oil that is produced, that I produce, the things of God are anointed with it. And the things of man pertaining to God are anointed with it. I just have to turn down this offer. It was probably meant in to be prestigious to me, but I'll tell you what looks like a promotion to you would look like it would be a demotion to me. He said, "Shall I leave my place and go? Shall I leave my fatness? For with by me they honor God." The olive oil was in all of the oil that. All the anointing oils. They never made no anointing oils without some olive oil. He got in on all of it. And they anointed all of God's priests, all of God's kings, all of God's prophets, and all of the furnishings in the tabernacle, and all the everything that set forth and typified by type and shadow that typified him. So his ministry is to God and man. He said, shall I leave this fruitful ministry just to be promoted over men? Hallelujah. Well, you know. Well, I have, you'll excuse me for making self-references, but I know about mine better than I know about yours, but I've had some of the denominations, it's been several years since they made many offers, but I've had several offers from the denominations, you know, to come, and in 6 months we'll have you, you know. They thought it would be a great honor to me, but actually, I always kind of took it as an insult. I'm sitting with this olive tree, got a ministry of fatness and hallelujah, that honors God and man. Should I leave this, that God has called me and placed me in, and did all that precision time in to get me here? And go just to be promoted over men? Alright, then so he says, all right, let's go on down to the next one. He says in verse 10, and the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. Now they go to the fig tree. Well, a fig's a pretty good tree, isn't it? Huh? He does some good. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Yeah, I don't know how. You know, this is my placement. If you get a man out of his placement in the kingdom of God, he's like that young man that I described to you when I began this evening teaching. He's like that young man that went from job to job, and he was just looking for something that would please him, that he could hang in there with. And if you get, when a person is sure of his calling, and knows from whence he come, and to where he's headed, and knows that he has been called and chosen of God. Hallelujah. Now, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? He says, should I forsake my sweetness? He has a ministry of sweetness. He's in good standing with God, and good standing with most people. I don't guess there's anybody that everybody just sanctions, but you know. And he said, and my good fruit and go to be promoted. Shall I leave all of this? Then, let's go on. In verse 12, then said the trees under the vine, come thou and reign over us. Now they've come down to the vine. They are. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine? Grapes. This is a grapevine, I guess. Makes wine. Wine is a type of what? Joy. Holy Ghost. Joy, primarily. Shall I leave my wine, which cheereth? Yeah, he says it here. Which cheereth God. Hallelujah. And man. What I've got is something that ministers to God and man both, and you're trying to give me something that only ministers to man. Only feeds man's ego. Meets man's demand for prestige. Frankly, this vine has to turn that offer down. We're still in divine time and placement in the whole ball of wax here, aren't we? Hallelujah. You see it? Everybody see it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. Then we'll go on. Now, then said all the trees under the bramble. Now, this is a bramble. You know what a bramble is? That thing's right there like one of them old, it ain't good for nothing much. Oh, me. This hurts me and I don't belong to none of them. You want me to tell you what church I belong to? All right. Let me stop here. Hebrews 12 and 22. Is it, Bill? Well, won't you read it for us, Bill? Yeah. This is my headquarters right here. This is one I belong to, and I invite you to join it. You can't join it, but you can be joined to it.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God.
You're come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God.
Heavenly Jerusalem.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
And to an innumerable company.
Innumerable company.
To the General Assembly.
General Assembly.
The Church of the Firstborn.
Church of the Firstborn.
Which are written in heaven.
Which are written in heaven.
And to God the Judge of all.
And the God the Judge of all.
And to the spirits of just men.
And to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's my headquarters, sir, General Assembly. All right, now somebody said, well, who is the head? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Read, Brother Bill. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether there be Jews or Gentiles, whether there be bond or free, and have been made all drink of one Spirit.
All right, Colossians chapter 1 and 18. We're getting to the head. Who's the head of this organization? Who heads it up? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence.
That's Jesus. And we read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 to put us in the body and then to give us a head over the body. That is the one that comes to the General Assembly. Of the heavenly assembly. Now, doubtless you will want to see my letter. Job chapter 16 and verse 19. I show you my letter. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you just don't move around without taking your letter. Amen. So doubtless you want to see my letter. Praise the Lord. All right? Go ahead.
And also now behold my witnesses in heaven.
Also, who's going to vouch for you? I behold now also my witnesses in heaven. And my record
is on high.
Is on high. There's my letter. And that's the church I belong to.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do I need any further recommendation here? Hallelujah. There it is.
Hallelujah.
All right. So he says, all right, we're back to Judges chapter 9, verse 14. We're winding down. He said to the bramble tree, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Yeah. If you make me king over you, hallelujah. Yeah, I'll make you a state overseer. But I can't get to be state overseer without you being made king over me. And if you're made king over me, I have to... What do I have to do? I have to stay in your shadow, don't I? Hallelujah. Amen. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if you don't, I'll let fire come out and devour the cedars of Lebanon. That's us. Hallelujah. Amen. So, hallelujah. So if you go with a man-made system and you make that your king, you have to come under their shadow, put your trust in the shadow, and if you don't, they'll get the fire after you.
Yeah.
They'll put the word out on you.
That's right.
They'll publish you. So maybe the first time you got in their little book, but you'll get in their little publication. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you see, and what reigned over them? It wasn't the olive, the fruitful olive. It wasn't the sweetness of the fig. Now, it wasn't the vine that drew the beautiful grapes that made the wine that gave cheer to God. Man, it was a bramble bush, the basis of all. And he gives them this parable to say that's what you have done when you sent Abimelech over you. He represents the bramble bush. Hallelujah. And if you don't stay under his shadow, he'll send the fire after you. Hallelujah. And so that's not all of it by any means, but that begins to show us just a little bit about divine timing and divine placement and our callings. Make your calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Everyone must seek to be divinely placed in the body of Christ and to know there are many ministries in the new, they're listed in the New Testament. I forget how many. Well, I really don't even know how many ministries there are. But there's all kinds of ministries, and there's all kinds of diversities of callings. But we must have a name. We need some, you know, if you're in natural things, you make a long-range plan. And then some immediate plans that all fit into your long-range plan. We must have a long-range plan. You know, like a lot of them have a long-range plan. They plan. I used to have a long-range plan. I've always had a long-range plan. At first, my long-range plan, and my long-range plan is my hope. 25 years ago, if you'd asked me, what is your hope? I said, I hope I die and go to heaven. But if you ask me now, what is your hope? Well, I don't hope I die and go to heaven. That was a blessed hope, all right. But I've got a more blessed hope than that now. I hope I live and reign with Jesus.
Amen.
What do you hope you do? You hope you die and go to heaven, or do you hope you live and reign with Jesus?
Live and reign.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I want to do, is live and reign with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's going to be some people that does it. We're candidates for it. We're real likely candidates, too, because we're in the running. You see, there's a lot of them out there hadn't tossed their hat in the ring yet. Hallelujah. Amen. They will, but we have. Hallelujah. We're off and running toward Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. Willing to be placed. Willing to be divinely directed. Hallelujah. Instructed and timed precision-wise. Hallelujah. Just getting us ready to when these kingdoms fall out from under the world systems. Hallelujah. They'll become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. And we are that Christ. Hallelujah. If you if you can receive that. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, if we will, I think that's all the saying that I'll do here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.